But kind of in the last few years, we've seen our numbers go down. That's changed. We're starting to grow again. We've seen our income go down. And suddenly we've been looking at pruning budgets rather than growing budgets and trying to work out what we can cut to keep the important parts of ministry going. And that kind of, I don't know, as a vicar, that kind of feels wrong. Because actually it should always be about doing more, not just maintaining, and certainly not about doing less. And alongside that, we've had some amazing opportunities, and that's what we tried to convey through Sarah's video. We are just incredibly privileged as a church to be ministering in this community, but particularly to be ministering to so many children and young people. So there are three things that I want to talk about in the context of kind of our church finances and that opportunity, that privilege this morning. This morning we find out where the technology works. Oh, look. I want to talk a bit about giving, hence the reading. I want to talk a bit about the challenge we face kind of in the practical terms with our finances at the moment. And I also want to talk about the opportunities that we believe God has given us, which we believe are actually truly unique. So a little bit about giving. I chose that reading with a lot of thought. It seems to me that one of the things I really recoil against in church is why I hate talking about giving at any time, really, is this kind of impression that particularly people outside of church have, is that church is always after people's money. Whereas actually I will want church to be kind of the most generous, the most giving body of people to those outside. That's our heart, really. And sometimes in church, you know, things happen that kind of perpetuate that. Often it feels like there's a whole lot of pressure, about money. But actually you can't ignore money from the Christian faith. Part of what it means to commit ourselves to Christ is to commit every area of our lives to Christ. And that includes our finances as well as every other area of our lives, our relationships, kind of our time, our energy, the gifts that God has given us in terms of our own strengths and weaknesses. Kind of, you know, when we come to Christ, we offer him everything. I think when I first spoke on money in this church 20 odd years ago, I quoted this, and it's John Wesley who said, "The last part of a person to get converted is their wallet. Sometimes the hardest place to put that commitment into action is actually with the money that kind of is in our bank accounts and in our pockets. It is part of kind of what we're called to do as Christians, to give God our money, to trust him with all of our lives. And our kind of journey at St. Matt's is one that, you know, there is a history of generosity. You know, our budget is large, and that's based on the generosity of people that are here now. Lots of people here give incredibly sacrificially. It's one of the reasons, again, why we're always nervous about talking about money. We know how generous people are and how costly that is at times as well. And that's been the history of St. Matt's. In the past, when we've talked about giving, we've talked a lot about tithing, giving 10%. And as I said, as a church, it's always been our practice to put that into practice in what we do too, to give away. It's certainly been Carol and I's practice. And people debate today. I had a debate when we were praying before the service about whether tithing is Old Testament or New Testament. And kind of people argue on both sides. And I could probably in this room bring forth a whole host of people that would stand here with testimonies about how in their obedience to God in this area, they have seen God meet their needs, even though it's been kind of scary to take that risk and step out in that risk. But the one thing that I'm convinced is that we're called to live under grace, and not under law. And the last thing I want to do is be legalistic in what I say. And that's why I chose this passage. It seems to me verse 7 says it perfectly. Each one must do just as his purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And if there's a danger in tithing, if there's a danger in the way we talk about giving a money, is that it can get guilt loaded. It can become about compulsion and obligation when actually giving needs to be about a response to the heart of God. Our generosity needs to be a response to God's generosity. And there's no obligation in the heart of God towards us. God gives us everything in his Son. He gives us more than we could ever need or want or desire in his Son. And we kind of talk about us giving ourselves to him, and that scary thing that that might include our wallets or our bank accounts. And yet he promises to give us all that we need. And we kind of see something of that generosity in our reading too. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. You know, this whole thing that actually we can't outgive God. God is always more generous to us than we are to him. Giving is part of how our faith develops. It's about faith. It's about trust in God. And kind of Paul reinforces it later in verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to us. There's nothing more that we could possibly need than what God makes available to us. All grace abound to us. So that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have abundance in every good deed. And there's no way that kind of our generosity ever comes anywhere near God's generosity. And I guess the thing about kind of giving is, unless we give, I think somehow we fail to miss out on what it means to walk by faith and to trust God in that area of our lives. We always never quite actually experience everything that God has for us. Yeah, we're missing out on experiencing the fullness of his generosity when we hold back from depending on him. There's also a sense that actually we also miss out on being part of his purposes. This passage, the context of it in Corinthians, is about an offering that's being gathered up throughout the Christian world at that time for the church in Jerusalem that has faced persecution and is now facing poverty. And they are playing their part in the building of God's church. We've just been singing about it. It's easy to sing about it. Sometimes it can be more challenging to do things about it. And that's what they're doing. They're playing their part in supporting their Christian brothers and sisters. And actually when we give, kind of we have that incredible privilege of being our part in God's purposes and seeing his purposes fulfilled. So that's a bit about giving. What about the factual stuff? And I've kind of talked in these terms about the challenge. We always knew kind of that this year would be a challenging year for us as a church. When we set our budget, and this is kind of one of the things that really grieves me, we talk about setting kind of budgets that are based on faith to do more. Well, we knew that to even set a budget to just maintain what we were doing this year, we would have to set a deficit budget. And we knew that kind of there was a gap of about 8,500 between what we expected to see coming in through giving based on previous years and what we thought it would cost to run church this year. So we began the year knowing it was a difficult year. Last year we kind of had a deficit and we'd seen the gap close a bit. And I came into this year thinking, okay, we're setting a deficit budget of 8,500. Personally, I really believe that by the time we got to this stage in the year, we would probably still be looking at a deficit, but it'd be more in the region of, 3,000 or 4,000. We would continue to see giving grow and that deficit increase. And actually what's happened is our costs haven't gone up dramatically. We're on budget for our costs. But because of just the circumstances of life and people's situations changing, people moving, people's kind of job situations changing, we've actually seen our giving go down. And now we're looking at a potential deficit of 13,000 this year. Currently we have some reserves, and there's also potential of a legacy that's been given to the church. But we're really aware that we're eating through those reserves, and we can't continue to do that year on and year out. And in the next couple of weeks, the DCC is going to meet to consider at what stage do we have to say, okay, we can't keep spending reserves to kind of meet the day-to-day needs of running church. And kind of charity recommendation is that charities have a third of their annual running costs as reserves. At the moment, we don't have anything like that, and we're eating away at them each year. And that's something we can't kind of let continue. At some point, kind of that has to stop, and that's the challenge that we face. There are two ways to deal with that. You can trim your costs, or you can kind of raise your income. There's, you know, if anyone's got a third way and they can suggest it to me, I will be only too pleased to know. Kind of the way St. Matt's work is that we've kind of trimmed about everything that can be trimmed. It's the big things that are hard to trim. The two biggest ones, beside our tithe that we give away, which as I said is 10% or more of what our income is, are the two that are there. Central costs are kind of what we pay into the Central Church of England. It covers my costs, my salary as vicar. It's nowhere near 68,000. Please, I am not driving around in a Rolls Royce before you start thinking that. But it includes my costs, and it includes our contribution to the costs of the diocese and our contribution towards the costs of the wider Church of England, i.e. the Archbishop of Canterbury and stuff like that. And he's not driving around in a Rolls Royce either, to my knowledge. And we pay more than some churches. We pay more because on the whole we have more. And there's this kind of principle that those that have more support those that have less. So part of what we give away centrally is also giving. It's blessing others that are not in as good a place as ourselves. And the other block is our salaries, which kind of is part-time administrator and a youth worker and a children's worker. And those are our big costs. Kind of with the, beyond the kind of, you know, there's only so much you can cut back your photocopying. We could probably turn the heating down on a Sunday a bit more, but it wouldn't be universally popular. And actually, it probably wouldn't save us a great amount of money in the grand scheme of things. So kind of we're almost at the point when we don't know what we can cut anymore. And that's incredibly challenging. So that's the hard part of this. This is the more interesting part. This, for me, is the exciting part. This is the opportunity. I personally think that God has just got the most incredible sense of humour. I kind of walk in here and think this place is totally bonkers. And it's not just because the vicar's a bit odd, please. You know, I know I look in the mirror and realise that every day. But kind of what God is doing in this place is just amazing. And actually, it's also fairly unique. But because it's our normal, I think sometimes we don't kind of get the picture that actually there's something happening here that's genuinely special, and that in it we have the most amazing privilege and the most amazing kind of opportunity. That Greek word in that reading for cheerful is hilariai. It's actually the word we get hilarious from. And kind of God saying, when you're giving, I want you to enjoy it. I want you to, you know, there should be something that is life-giving and releasing in it. And kind of, I think that reflects the heart of God. And I think in what God is doing amongst us, there is an element of the hilarity. That kind of, there is something that is just kind of bizarre and crazy. Because every, you know, what is great is as a church we are growing. And we're growing right across the board in every area, adults, children. But the place where we are just growing exponentially, it's in children. And in the moment, there's some average stats coming up. But there was one Sunday morning in September when there were 114 adults and there were 76 children. I am really sorry. That is absolutely bonkers. It's actually quite challenging and quite difficult at times, but it is totally and utterly bonkers. And in recent years, we've seen unparalleled growth in our children and our youth work, both on Sunday mornings and midweek. And those slides flew by in the presentations. I'm just going to pick up on some of them. And this is going back a couple of years. 2 years ago, 17 children on a Sunday and 6 midweek in the kind of the newly started deeper. This year, 25 on a Sunday with over 20 midweek. These are average figures. So there's a lot more, you know, some weeks there are a lot more than that. Some weeks there are less. And actually there are a lot more children overall involved than that shows, but you have to do it kind of one way or another. And then there's youth. When Claire started, there were 6 on a Sunday and 6 midweek. They're now 16 on a Sunday. Sometimes it's 25, actually, but that's the average number. And with 30-plus midweek. It's a bit, you can't quite see the faded out bit, can you? But basically, that's where it's gone from. You've gone from one kind of, one number to the other. It's a huge number more children. It's literally 200% growth in some areas in a 2-year period. That is incredible. It's actually nuts. Now, as I say, because we are used to kids doing handstands at the front of church, kids playing drums at the front of church, kids getting their guitars out and dancing around, kind of there's a danger. We just kind of think, well, that's what happens, isn't it? That's church, because that's our church. That's our reality, isn't it? That's what we know, and that's what we love. It's kind of the eccentricity that makes St. Matt's what St. Matt's is. And we love it, The idea of being kind of the sort of church we say, could you keep your children under control, please, is total anathema. We want it to be a place, where we can all party and our kids can party and they can enjoy the presence of God and kind of grow in Him. The average Church of England church has a membership of 54 members. I mean, there are some that are a lot smaller, there are some that are a lot bigger. That's kind of the average kind of numbers for the average Church of England church. And last year's kind of church statistics for the Church of England said that the normal size for a church is about one child to every 6 adults. So kind of if you look at the smaller block, that's what a normal church looks like. 54, of which 9 are children. Then you look at the other side, kind of 100 plus, of which 60 plus are children. That's what I mean. It's totally bonkers, isn't it? It's totally and utterly bonkers. God is doing something that is actually unique in this place. And we really need to grasp that. And we need to grasp its significance. We can see it as a problem. Help! How do you deal with that? Or we can see it as a success. And I guess it's all depends on how you look at it. We can see it as the challenge of childcare or an incredible opportunity for the kingdom of God. We'll be talking about this more later because it has huge relevance to all of us, kind of about how we kind of share our faith and live the Christian life. But the Church of England, EA and Hope UK recently kind of did a massive survey of people's attitudes towards Jesus, to church and to Christianity. And they kind of looked at it from the point of view of people outside the church and people that were inside the church. One of the things that kind of came out of it was that 42% of people that are Christians today or are church members today became Christians in their childhood. Now, kind of put that in the context of the number of children and young people we're ministering to in this church. Put that in the context of the number of churches that have 9 children to 50 adults. It makes you realize what an incredible privilege we have, not just for today, but for influencing the shape and the future of our church. When I arrived here, St. Matthew's part of a team ministry. We don't do a massive amount with the other churches. But St. Peter's had an 11 o'clock congregation of 80 people. This summer, it closed in June with 3 people worshipping there. It closed because it got older and older and older, and the congregation just disappeared. And that story is being repeated across this country. And yet God is doing the complete reverse of this in this place. And it is just the most incredible opportunity and the most incredible privilege that we have here. And what I love about it is that it isn't about childcare, that the values that we have a church, which are about being disciples of Jesus, are the same values that are embodied in our children's work and our youth work. The idea that actually we can get a child to give the talk in our youth work, in our children's work sometimes, that they can be released into ministry, that they can pray for people. Actually, I think sometimes they're doing a better job of it than we are. You know, the reasons why the mid-Greek groups are growing is because our kids have invited their friends at school, and then their friends that they've invited along have invited their friends. Is there a lesson that we should be learning from them? It's the same model of being a disciple and making disciples that is being developed with our children. And that's thriving. And John and Claire are just passionate to see them grow in what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Just what a privilege. And we have an opportunity to bless that. And there are two things. Today we are asking you to prayerfully consider what you might be able to give financially to ensure we can keep this ministry going and we can afford to staff our children and our youth ministries. It doesn't just rely on John and Claire. We have the most amazing volunteers, and I'll say more of that in a moment. But they are at the hub of what's going on, and we are so, so privileged to have them ministering amongst our children and our young people. So would you pray about that? There are envelopes on the chairs. You may need to go away and pray about it and take the envelope away with you. If you do, just make sure whichever envelope you bring back says gift day on it, so it doesn't get subsumed in anything else. We want the money that's given to go to our children and our youth ministry and ensuring that that continues. So would you please pray about that? And please would you be willing to give sacrificially? Because we have the most amazing opportunity and the most amazing privilege. And the other thing is, they can't do it on their own. Would you also pray about, can you play a part in that? Could you join a team? Could you get involved either on a Sunday or and there are a host of teams in church. We've heard about the welcome team. There's music team. There's people who do PA. There's lots of ways you can get involved in church. But would you particularly pray about, whether God might be calling you to get involved in our children and our young people's work? I don't know whether you thought about this. This growth is over 2 years. It's 200% in some areas. What happens if we see that in the next 2 years? It's not just about the financial costs. It's about growing a team that can continue to see that grow and see this that happen. And you might think, well, I can't talk about things in that way. I can't keep kids occupied. There are lots of different ways you can get involved. Here are some of them. There's being either a leader or a helper on a Sunday. Midweek on Mondays, 3:30 to 5, the same, and on Wednesdays, 6:30 to 7:30. But there are also practical things that are done. I don't know whether you know this, and he wouldn't make any fuss about it, but I don't know what time John gets here to lug stuff up to the hall and get it set up and to get his head round it. And I can tell you, believe me, I wouldn't want to get church set up before I had to speak to you on a Sunday morning. I would want all my thoughts to be geared into what I'm going to say and share with you. But the guy's here moving furniture to make sure everything works. Could you help with setup? It's just a practical thing. If you can't talk about it or do with kids, you can probably move furniture. Could you help walking the kids up and down? It's a real challenge. Our plant doesn't make this any easier. Could you help with things during the week? Toddlers. Or practical craft stuff. Either ideas of what to do or to make it. Could you help with making milkshakes just once a month or playing sports with young people? Could you supervise crafts? Could you help just turn up and help in a Sunday group? There's lots of different places where people could get involved. And we would really want to ask if you would pray about that too. Because, it's not that we're saying that what happens with the rest of us doesn't matter. What we are saying is God is doing something special here. Something that is actually unique, and we need to get in tune with him and participate in that. And we would really prayerfully ask you to consider how you might do that. Thank you. I'm going to shut up after I've prayed. Lord, we talked about giving without compulsion, and I just want to pray that you would lift any sense of compulsion or obligation off every one of us this morning. Lord, if what I've said in any way puts pressure on people, I just want to pray, Lord, somebody you just pull the plug out and take that away. Lord, would you just help us to hear you about what part you want us to play in this? We're a church. This is our ministry. This is your ministry. Show us where we fit in and how we play our part and what you want to do through us in this, Lord. And let it be your voice, Lord, without compulsion. Only the compulsion of love and gratitude. Amen.